Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're a couple of credentialed media folks and best friends who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Yeah, somehow we manage, you know?
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
If you haven't checked out the network yet, be sure and check out some other shows out there, you know?
Whole bunch of stuff going on right now, especially if you're a Rockets fan. Go check out Locked On Rockets. They got a good thing going on over there.
A whole bunch of stuff. But in Clippers news, today is Twitter Tuesday when you listen to this. Thank you to everyone who sent their questions in ahead of time. If you want a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, send that over to @LockedOnClips. You know, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
So we got some great questions there. And then in the second segment, we've got to explore what's going on with the wing depth that the Clippers currently have at their disposal.
It's a little thin right now.
I think a little is maybe an understatement. So we're going to be talking about that. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends with the Clippers and around the NBA, we got some good stuff for you there. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So again, welcome to Twitter Tuesday. You can always send your question to @LockedOnClips. We get a lot of them. We do our best to try and answer all of them. So we appreciate all the submissions. Let's get right into it right now. @ChennyJohn, often question asker, avid listener. We appreciate it. Met him once. Very cool guy. After all the free agency drafts as trades are done, as of now, which teams in the West really improved? Which teams are on the way down? And which teams treaded water?
Okay, so improved, I think you got to go Portland, obviously.
Yes, Portland improved by just keeping everybody.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, keeping Rodney Hood, adding Enes Kanter, who, I don't know, I mean, I guess in their eyes, he's an upgrade from Whiteside. I think it depends on the price, obviously.
Vibe-wise, maybe.
So, yeah, Portland definitely got better. It'd be hard for me to say that Phoenix didn't get better.
For sure.
Yeah, they had a good offseason.
Clippers got better, despite what some people are saying. I think for playoff basketball, I think the Clippers got better.
I think Clippers treaded water.
Ooh, spicy.
I think the loss of JaMychal is really, really big. And we're going to talk about this in the second segment. But, like, the wing depth is a little bit questionable. But not to fear yet. I mean, I still think the Clippers are there. There's something else brewing. We're just not
there
done.
There has to be.
We're not done yet with this, the current construction of the roster, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would say thus far, I mean, a little bit better than treading water, but I mean, like,
doggy paddling.
It's a doggy paddle, for sure. For sure.
On the way down, I feel like, I mean, Houston seems like they're keeping everybody.
Oh, the Lakers also improved.
Yeah. Yeah. Houston kind of in between treading water and maybe on the way down, depending what the hell happens.
I have no idea what's going on over there. Like, I mean, they could trade everybody at the end of the, while we're doing this podcast. I don't know what to make of that situation.
OKC rebuilding.
Yeah.
You know,
asset. I mean, like, asset accumulation. I would say, did the Wolves get a little bit better?
Yes.
Rubio back.
Rubio's going to be a good fit for that team.
We haven't seen what Russell looks like yet.
Yeah. Had the number one pick, used it instead of trading it back.
Can't get much worse for the Timberwolves either.
Dallas, I think, treaded water to maybe went on the way down.
So I think they definitely treaded water, and I think part of that has to do with the Kristaps injury.
That sucks.
I think it's really hard to go all in on a season if one of your two marquee players. You don't know the status of when they'll be back. And also, you know, there is a lot of rumblings that they're trying to save money. They're trying to make cap space and they're trying to, you know, make a pitch for Giannis in, next year's free agency, which I don't know that that's that realistic of like actually happening, but, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. @DavyNeubauer, what's our number one priority at this point? I feel like we need more defense on the bench unit.
Davey Neubauer, you killed it. We need more defense on the bench unit. I'm happy with Serge. Like I said, I do think that was an upgrade.
Absolutely.
But, you know, once again, we lost JaMychal. So that's down another wing guy. And we still don't really have anybody at the small forward position, which we will talk about in the next segment.
Yeah.
But the backcourt, obviously defense garbage.
Not good.
Kennard and Lou is, I mean, one of the worst pairings you could possibly think of. I mean, up there with Lou and Reggie.
I was going to say.
so, yeah, I think defense on the second unit is going to be a big deal. I don't know. Like I said, I still think there's one more move, and I don't know if that's going to end up being a trade. Given the scarcity of what we have on our roster, I mean, like, I don't know how much we can realistically send out to only get in one player.
Yeah.
So that gets a little bit difficult. It might have to come from some signings, but there's still some available free agents at the forward position, which would be interesting. And
like we said, like, the Clippers move in silence, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
There just has to be some... They obviously knew Serge was coming way before free agency started.
Yeah, I would guess that, like... I mean, they definitely didn't tamper. I will say that.
Oh, right. Tamper. Correct. Yeah. But they knew 10 seconds before everyone else at 6:01.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the defense definitely needs to be addressed, and maybe you can stagger Kawhi and Paul George more. I don't know. I don't love it. It has to be fixed.
At Clipper Zay, and this is a question I've been wondering a lot too. How can this team legitimately get better at drafting? I get we don't have very many future picks, but our past has proven to be more missed than hit, in this person's opinion. I don't know how you get better at drafting.
Drafting's really hard. We've had middling picks for the last decade.
Yeah.
I don't know. So here's part of the thing. I think that we would have figured drafting out and made it more of a priority if we had gone in the direction we thought this team was going in, say, 18-19.
Do you think when Doc was maybe also GM, because he always talked about how the NBA is the most over-scouted league.
Oh, I mean, that totally screwed us over, too,
which,
for sure.
I think that screws over the culture of, like, scouting, maybe, of, like, it's the most overscouted thing in the league. We know what this guy does. And you're like, no, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, Ballmer would pay the best analytics guys and scouts. Like, if that was the direction this team was headed, I think that...
oh, that's a good call.
That it could definitely be improved. But I just don't think that it's... I really, truly do not think it's been a priority.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why it would be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Jerome pick is weird, but, like, we really scouted Jerome pretty hard.
And we hit hard on Shai. Hit hard on Shai.
For sure. I like the idea. I think it's because of the time period. You know, like, the past, we haven't been a truly bottom team in a while, knock on wood. It just hasn't been a priority, I guess.
No.
And analytics guys, people, excuse me, if you're an analytics person, I feel like, and teams are trying to hire you, I can't imagine that team loyalty is a big thing. Like, I feel like if it's like between two teams and it's just like Ballmer's giving you 20% more, why would you not go?
Definitely.
You can probably work from home if you're doing analytics.
Definitely. No, I mean, like, if this was a priority, we absolutely have the resources to draft better than we have.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you can point to the Jerome pick. I know that people weren't thrilled with this draft, but once again, it's like, I just can't get that upset about middling picks.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like,
no disrespect to the players that were taken.
Oh, of course. We're not striking out on a top five pick.
Your future is going to be, your future is going to be perfect. Obviously, but yeah.
Christian Martinez asks, which Morris are we getting? Relaxed after securing contract, motivated and getting rich to catch up to his brother?
I think he's motivated right now. I don't think that Morris is a guy to just sit on a contract. This guy's a competitor, man. He's very aggressive. And, you know, I know that he did not do his reputation any good that year in New York. You know, he was a hothead. He threw the ball.
Had the comment.
Yeah, had a terrible chauvinistic comment. And also, you know, in the playoffs, I mean, he's a hot-headed dude. But that also is a good thing because he's super competitive. And I think people tend to forget, previous to this, man, he was a great teammate and voice in the locker room on that Boston Celtics team, especially after Kyrie went down. And they ended up taking that young team to an Eastern Conference final. And that's, you know, like, he is a good teammate. And I do think that he wants to win a ring.
I think we're getting both. I think we're getting, he's going to be motivated, but he's also going to be relaxed. He knows his role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like what I talked about in the bubble when
he's not going to be trying to do too much.
Exactly. Like, I kind of talked about pre-bubble how we were going to need, like, the really aggressive Mook and then, like, the tone it down Mook. And we kind of got both.
Yeah.
So I think this year it's going to be a nice mix. I'm excited to see what Morris does and lose offense.
Yeah, me too.
More plays actually called up for him, hopefully. Afghan Stallion wonders, do you think Lou Will is on the roster at the start of the season? Start of the season? Probably. After the trade deadline? Maybe not.
I would be pretty surprised, and it bums me out, but I would be pretty surprised if we went into another post-trade deadline with Lou on the team. At the start of the season, it's just still, I don't know, you know, like this, it's so hard to predict this front office, but the deadline is kind of, it feels very imminent.
It really does.
From where we're sitting right now. So I don't know about the beginning of the season, but I do think he ends up getting dealt this season.
Yeah. Robert Yamagata wonders, would you be surprised if some of the rookies get more run this season? I'm high on Mann taking the Magruder minutes at the point. If Mann is only going to take the Magruder minutes at the point, I'm all for it. Because there's not very many minutes there.
So,
right? Like,
I think it depends on the other additions that are made. But the thing is Mann is not an improvement defensively to that second unit.
No. I think this is almost 2.5 unit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like third. It's like third.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to see him get a little bit more time. I think that he figured some things out there, especially in the bubble. Mm-hmm. Started to click for him.
Yeah, glad he got the bubble experience.
I also think Coffee could stand to get a few more minutes. So.
Dude, everyone wants more Coffee minutes. And then finally, Avery McLawhorn, which generally sounds like the best name in the world if you were a Canadian lawyer. What's the status of Reggie Jackson?
I think he's done. I think he's gone with the Clippers.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't see. I mean,
fit wise, money wise, what do you think?
I just think fit wise. I mean, it does. He can't start.
he can't play on the bench unit with Luke Kennard and Lou Williams.
No, I mean, we have Kennard, who is probably a better playmaker, definitely a better shooter. Mm. You know, both terrible defenders. So I mean, like, I don't know, man. I'm actually maybe starting to get a little bit worried if we add Reggie too, unless you do it.
That makes me think Lou's definitely on the move.
Unless you do it as, yes, yeah, that means there's definitely a trade in place, or they just,
I really hope Lou's on the move.
Yeah, or they just want an assurance against Pat Bev injuries.
Yeah, which are a very real issue. Thank you, Aaron, for sending in questions. You can send them to @LockedOnClips anytime you want, really. We'll answer them on the show if you send them to us on a Monday, but if just on a regular day, we'll go back and forth with you.
Oh, yeah. We'll chop it up.
Coming up next, we're going to be making a little stop at Wingstop to see who's available for backup small forward. But first, Will, talk to me about these Built Go bars.
All right. The thing about Built Go is it's not even a bar.
What?
It's an energy gel, and it's the best energy gel on the market. It helps you break through your wall, whether that's a mental or physical wall. You can break through it with Go every day. Comes in easy-to-take 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase. You can put it in your golf bag. You can hide it in your sock. I like to hide a lot of things there.
Smart.
But it's the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster Energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Comes with 3 delicious flavors. You got peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint.
What?
And how does it work so well, you're probably wondering? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach, much like the taquitos we're eating right now. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. It kicks in, keeps you going strong. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
Now that we've gone and built it, we're here at the Wingstop. Ricky P. Ramos asked, who's the backup small forward? Don't know.
Amir Coffee
right now. This also kind of, first of all, great question. A lot of people wondering it. We also have to answer the question, what do we need from the backup small forward? Because there's a bunch of kind of the same level contract guys who are available right now at small forward, but there's kind of a smattering of what you could go for. Not in a truly interesting way, but like, do we need a guy? I think we need someone who is at least kind of a threat to shoot. Someone who can help defense a little bit.
No, the defense is the most important thing to me. That's more important than the shooting. We have scorers on that second unit. Sure, Luez has ups and downs. Kennard will probably have some growing issues. Serge can certainly be spotty at times. But overall, I'm happy with the offense of that second unit. I think just like the defense is, I mean, it's going to be abysmal.
Especially with how many, what we think of right now that we're probably going to see is those Kennard and Lou minutes. You need someone right next to those guys who are kind of interchangeable at the one and two. Obviously, I think Kennard is going to be the backup point guard.
Yeah.
But you need someone to help cover.
You need someone to help cover if you're going to have both those guys on the floor. That seems rough. And at times with the roster construction that we currently have, it's going to be those two plus Patrick Patterson, which is, I mean, what matchup do you want? Who do you want to toast on the other end? Go ahead, take your choice. You got 3 out of 5. So,
yeah.
I think that's the most important thing. Obviously, shooting would be great. It's maybe secondary. It's probably secondary to me.
That's fair. Who are we? So there's just some names out here that we kind of talked about before we started recording. Glenn Robinson III is someone who's been kind of floating around on Twitter.
Yeah.
In terms of Clippers Twitter, which I think is interesting. Saw some people suggest Kyle Korver. Think his defense is too bad.
His defense is too bad, man. He's too old.
And then
that would be
that'd be horrible.
That would have to be the worst defensive bench in the NBA.
It'd be close to it. And then Nick Batum, probably not looking for a payday. Already got a pretty big one.
I mean, he's still getting paid $9 million a year, even if he's not on a team.
Yeah, I guess still making $9 million a year. Who do you like out there?
So I got three guys I'm liking. I'm still going to put Batum kind of towards the top. There is the worries about injuries. He shot like absolute dog shit last year from three, but on his career is like 36, 37%.
The stats from him last year are so weird to look at.
He averaged like 3.6 points.
And he had like some healthy scratches. So you're just like, what the hell? And I don't think that's all player, obviously. I'm like, no one knows what's happening. And I don't know what's happening in Charlotte in terms of, you know, like coaching vibes or stuff like that. But yeah.
I would imagine. They got burned hard on that contract. But if you could get him on a minimum, I think that's a pretty quality add. He's still an above average defender. He's a great perimeter defender. He has the ability to create a little bit, which you don't super need with Kennard and Lou Will, but it's nice to have. And like I said, he's like a 36, 37% shooter. I like him because he's also big. He's 6'9".
Yeah.
He can kind of swing. He could play some minutes at the shooting guard too if we want to go bigger. The age, he's 32.
All these guys who are available are kind of in that age range where you're like, okay.
Yeah. About to turn 32. I think that he is probably on a minimum deal. I'm interested in taking a flyer on him.
That's a good call. What about Glenn Robinson III? Because I'm pretty hyped on GR3 here.
I love Glenn Robinson III. he's only 26. He's a little bit smaller at 6'6", but he is great at moving off ball, which I think, I mean, just with the combination of Serge and Kennard's passing and Lou Will is an interesting kind of thing. He's not as good of a perimeter defender as Batum or as Batum has been. You know, it's hard to equate what he's going to look at this point after only playing 22 games last season.
Good call.
Glenn Robinson, he's improved his shooting from three. He's like a 39% shooter. He can shoot it above the break at like 37%. He shoots off the catch and shoot 40%. Corner threes, nearly 42%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy is kind of the total package. Man, am I nagging myself right now? I might have to move Glenn Robinson up into the number one spot. I think it's interesting. He's also like a huge hustle guy. He's in like the 80th or 90th percentile for like loose ball recovery rate.
Love it.
Which is, you know,
having
that
on the second unit would be great too. Have a little more grit. Like,
yeah, he's a decent offensive rebounder. I don't know. And I do, like I said earlier, I do really like the movement off ball. You know, it's something that we've needed. And he's got the youth. Man, you know what?
I think you just convinced yourself Glenn Robinson the third's the one.
Let's go for Glenn Robinson.
And then who's the third one you've been looking at?
I'd also consider Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Okay.
And I think what I like about him is he's a little bit – well, I mean, he's like 6'6", but he's a stout dude. I mean, he plays time at the power forward and the small forward. He is probably the best – or at least most versatile defender of the bunch. You know, he can, he's a solid interior defender as well as a perimeter defender. The issue obviously is like, we're talking about like Mo Harkless levels of offense, maybe even worse. I think he shoots like 13% from three.
Unlike 70% of a three-pointer a game, though, right? Like
Than half a three-pointer.
He's not even
per
shooting.
Game.
So, like, everyone, like, every team has been like, you know what? We know what you're good at, and shooting threes is not one of those things.
He's taken like 40 threes over the course of a season. But, just solid defender.
If you're going for only defense, you know, if that's the biggest priority, maybe it's him, maybe it's Batum. But yeah, the overall well-roundedness of Glenn Robinson III seems like it could fit well. And he's got like kind of the youth on his side, if that is a priority for the Clippers in some way.
Yeah. I mean, if I was to put this in tiers, obviously it's Batum and Robinson in a tier of their own. And then I'm going to call it a much lower tier for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
What about Ilyasova?
Ilyasova, I like. Doesn't take a lot of threes, but shoots at a pretty high percentage.
Yeah.
I just worry with his age. He's what? He's only 33, but
he's younger than you think he is. I'm pretty sure he's in like his early 30s.
I think we just looked at this. he is.
Does the hustle stuff, you know, like
definitely
takes
definitely
charges.
Played with a lot of, I mean, he's a big dude as well, which I like. He's 33. So he will be turning 34 this year. You know, I mean, he can do a little bit of it all too. I guess he's not as sexy of a pick to me as Glenn Robinson is seeming right now.
Yeah.
But you know, he can be a quality contributor at like, you know, 15 minutes a night.
And that's what we're looking at too. Like, we're looking at someone who's not going to be probably doing a whole bunch of playing in the playoffs. This is a regular season pickup.
Yes.
Right. Like, this is strictly based on what we need for the regular season.
Yes. I mean,
I don't think rolling out Glenn Robinson in the playoffs at any time is going to be indicative. Things are either going really... It's like what Doc said about Jokic.
I don't know. I mean, I actually might have to disagree with you, man. Like, if these guys are able to, like, you know, play defense and maybe even improve a little bit, I could see them... I could see somebody carving out a role.
And we also... it's going to be crazy to see how short Lou makes the bench for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ty Lue. Because Doc didn't really do that. And people had kind of talked about maybe we got to take someone out and it's shortened to eight guys or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's shortened to eight guys, do any of these guys make the cut? I mean, that's a fair argument. It just depends. I mean, Glenn Robinson isn't a guy who's going to get hunted out on the perimeter.
Right.
neither is Batum. So, you know, it is playable. I think any one of these guys... does raise the floor of the team.
Love it. Yeah.
What it does for the ceiling, you know, TBD.
For sure. Let us know who you think we should pick up at small forward. Coming up, we're going to be talking Fee winning another award from the Agua Caliente Clippers, plus a fantastic voicemail from Logan Rapp. But first, hey, Tuesdays on Locked On NBA. East meets West on Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Remmel, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day, coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which is just where we kind of wrap up all the loose ends around the NBA. Yeah. And surprise, surprise, the Agua Caliente Clippers have given out another award.
I can't.
You want to tell us about this one, Chuck?
Fiondu Cabangeli won the Defensive Player of the Year Team Award from the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Okay.
Love it. Seemingly only two people are in the running for these awards, except Amir Coffey, who got one too. So in 6 months, we'll get the most improved player, I'm assuming, from Lock Island to Clippers. And then we're probably going to get Professor Pump Fake for the best fake outs.
Like that.
This is my least favorite thing of the offseason. These awards are my least favorite thing.
I feel like it started out fun and we were like, yeah, I'm liking this. And now the fun level has really
They're
dipped.
Just still going on. They can't find the balance between actual seeming team award I should care about and calling it Dr. Dribble.
Yes.
Which is a real one, by the way.
Yeah, it was a real one. Also, like, what's the release schedule for these?
They gotta
I just
watch
don't
the
understand.
Tape. They gotta watch the tape.
I just don't understand what's taking so long or yeah.
I don't
Why
get it.
Now?
And there's so many players who played more games than Fee and Terrence Mann did for the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Yeah, that's
who
fair.
Just aren't getting any of these things. Who knows? Just had to get that off my chest. I hope this is the end of these awards. Montrezl Harrell did an interview today. He was asked if the Clippers wanted him back, and his answer was, apparently not, if I went to the other side. Hey, what do you want to do?
Look, I can't say with any sort of certainty, but I don't think we extended him an offer. I think that our eye has been on Ibaka.
We knew he was coming.
Yeah, I think just between the locker room stuff, the leaks post the terrible playoff meltdown.
That's the thing, right? So Trez, when he's on the court, gives you 150%. Trez off the court does things like leak things about how like Paul George is the worst teammate and all this and goes on, you know, just rants in the locker room after a loss about how not everyone's holding it, which might have been true as well, but like there's ways to do this that make it so there's not articles written about locker room issues. Like there's ways to voice your discontent.
Yeah.
Every team
absolutely.
Has that.
Look, I mean, he previous to like this season was one of my favorite Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of clear that like his conduct was not really at the level of what this team's aspirations are right now.
Something I once got dismissed from a couple basketball games for, conduct detrimental to the team.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
It'll happen. and you know what's unfortunate? Like, obviously, likable dude, really freaking hard worker.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. I think that he could have gotten even more money, but I understand him wanting to roll with the Lakers. Like
he's an underdog. You know, when you're an underdog, you go to the underdog.
It's true. It's a unique opportunity for him. I'm still not sure about the fit. It doesn't surprise me that there wasn't a strong push to get him back.
And I hope in a good way that other than Lakers-Clippers games, this is the last we talk about Trez saying stuff about the Clippers.
Yeah.
Just be good for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Finally, we're going to close out with a voicemail from NoHo Zone, Logan Rapp, just kind of breaking down how Serge is going to be for the team. Let's see what he has to say.
So, hey, optimistic time. Serge Ibaka is a major improvement over Montrezl Harrell. He just is. It's especially noticeable considering Ibaka and Trez got virtually the same exact deal. But the Lakers brought Trez in to bring energy during the regular season. He is not there for playoffs. Do not get it twisted. He will be riding pine by the second round. But the Clippers now have 2 7-footers at the five who can perform in the postseason. Zubac is young and athletic, an elite rim protector who, by the way, isn't done improving. Ibaka isn't as athletic as he used to be, but he can still clean the glass, and now we open up the pick and pop. Ibaka can shoot threes and just shoot beyond 3 feet in general, as well as space the floor, while still being able to bang down low and get rebounds. We need that. I don't think people quite understand how badly we needed that in the bench units. The locker room is also going to be better. With all the weird reports of chemistry issues, we suddenly see a rotation player go directly to the Lakers. It doesn't take Colombo to put 2 and 2 together. Ibaka is going to prove the team not only on the floor, but off it. And who doesn't want to see Ibaka make Pat Bev eat something weird on Serge's cooking show? Come on. Y'all want to see it. I want to see it. It's going to be fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Love the pick and pop point.
Definitely.
That's going to be awesome.
Definitely. I mean, and he is an improvement from Harrell. I agree. He's a lot more versatile, a better defender. And
better guy in the locker room, most likely.
I mean, he's been there before.
Yeah.
You know
for sure,
I mean?
He knows Kawhi.
Yeah.
So
I would think so.
The cooking show, very good point. Hope they still continue to do that. You could do that socially distanced too.
That's true. Yeah.
You just use really long gopher grabbers. Hold the fork and the knife. You can be like 8 feet away from each other.
Definitely. Well, I mean, all the team guys will know they're set because they're going to be having like double daily tests or whatever. So.
Oh, yeah. Like 50 tests a day or something like that.
I mean, who knows?
Who do you think is going to benefit most from Serge Ibaka, I'm sure, no doubt, giving unsolicited fashion advice to his teammates?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Let's see. Who needs it?
What if Bev just goes full like Parisian, like just out of nowhere?
Nah, I don't see it, man.
He's got a good old man who's up to date on current fashion vibe.
Yeah, I think like I'd be interested in seeing him and Lou kind of chop it up, because Lou like is a pretty understated dresser, but like is definitely very into labels and stuff. I've seen him wear a ton of different designers.
I think Fee might be up there.
Ooh, I like that. Like helping out one of the young guys, I think would be cool. It'd be funny if he and Pat went shopping together. I think Pat wears a lot of beanies. You know, Serge is on the scarf wave. I think, you know, who knows?
That's awesome. I hope it's Ty Lue. I hope Ty Lue starts getting real flamboyant on the sidelines. That about wraps it up for Shavings.
Yeah.
Wednesday's episode, we're gonna have a What You Say Wednesday. We're gonna do a poll on Twitter, so check us out. Not entirely sure if we're gonna be doing a Friday episode. There's gonna be a Thanksgiving episode. Depends on how active things get on Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking some more free agency stuff on tomorrow's episode. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, where can these people tell their family to listen to us on Thanksgiving?
To listen to us on Thanksgiving, you should check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Yeah, thanks so much for rocking with us. We love bringing you news 5 days a week. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It does help us out. If you like what we're doing over here, leave a rating or review. We'll read it on the show.
Heck yes. Thank y'all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.